Now, agreement is a very important thing, because the Thetan begins to depend upon a universe keeping its own chant and stops chanting himself. Now, what happens if he does this? Then he has to agree with something which is vibrating, doesn't he? So he himself becomes mass. And that's how a Thetan becomes mass. See, he's not chanting anymore, so he goes thoroughly into agreement, 100% into an agreement with something that's doing the chanting. You see? And then he doesn't chant anymore at all, and then he falls away, and he falls out of agreement with what he was depending on to keep on agreeing with him for. So he depended on that wall, and now he decides that wall is harmful to him, and he's no longer chanting. He's no longer now in contact with the wall because it's dangerous. Where is he going to get any time? He isn't going to get any. But he may fish around and contact another time continuum, another universe, and be to some vague degree in contact with that time continuum. And that's another entire body of beings and so forth, and automaticities chanting, space, particle, position, space, particle, position, space, particle, position, space, particle, position. That's another song going on. And you get the same dissonance, the same confusion that you would get if you had John Philip Sousa and Bach playing in the same audience hall. It would be quite interesting, wouldn't it? But let's say Bach was only playing faintly and Sousa was blaring forward. You would just every once in a while be disturbed by the fact that there was another note in there somewhere, or there was a clavichord pounding somewhere in a Philip Sousa band. And this seem odd to you. And this would seem very strange. Now let's go around the other way and get them up to equal magnitude. John Philip Sousa playing just as loud as Bach. That would be a mess, wouldn't it? Well, it could only get that much of a mess if the individual is almost equally dependent upon these two bands to tell him where he is. One orchestra and a band. And so he looks. He doesn't know whether the orchestra is going to tell him or the band is going to tell him. And they're different beats and so forth. And he just gets very confused. There's a condition where he'd merely be stuck between two universes. But think of himself as a universe now, a bunch of experiences, collected items of one kind or another, old chains, tin cans, bric-a-brac. Just think of this fellow with mock-ups and so forth as a universe, a viewpoint, and he very well can be. And it's a universe that he has stopped timing, and there's nobody else around there any place to chant anything. So his universe is motionless. And we get an individual with a black cowl or mass of energy hanging around his face or something. It's just running on its last postulate, and its postulate that it will continue to chant. But there it is. And so forth, and he's just faintly, you see, there's just some faint pulse about it, and that's about all. So it isn't moving. He isn't moving on that track anymore, and yet he's in this universe. He's in the physical universe, and he's not moving on his own universe track anymore. He could always mock up his own universe track. So the easiest solution for an auditor is simply to collect somebody into at least one universe. You know, let's supposing this hall was a very big hall, and you found the pre-clear in the middle of it, and the orchestra playing Bach was on one end of it, and the band playing Sousa was on the other end of it, but the hall was big enough so that if you were at one end, you wouldn't hear the other instruments. We would just lead our pre-clear down to John Philip Sousa's band. See? He wouldn't hear any Bach anymore. It wouldn't disturb him at all. Or we'd lead him over to Bach. Didn't care which orchestra there. He's at least hearing some music now. Well, that's a good thing, because here is the basics of it. A preclear gets out of time.